Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Yeah,
and
right on.
Way of knowing.
Good man is out of time.
Which direction we are going?
Directly El Camino. It would have been DWI.
Have reached a tipping point.
Good evening. It is Tuesday night, and welcome to Tipping Point, the only podcast not endorsed by the Paul Lee candidacy. Hi, I'm Stephen Platinum, and I'm not running for anything. I'm too old and fat. And this is the lovely Miss Rachel, and we are joined by the venerable Larry Goodman. How are you folks doing tonight?
This is going to be an interesting show, I can already tell.
Yes. Yes. let's jump right in. Paul Lee, I got the I think I got the same secret coded message that the two of you did about all this drama going on with Paul Lee. I know it feels weird to start with that. Can I say this for Paul Lee? This is going to shock both of you. I have something positive to say about Paul Lee. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Never, but go.
I know he showed up to that hearing to determine whether he was eligible to run for mayor, which they found that he was not, that he was not a resident in good standing for 12 months as you needed to be, which he's going to fight in court. But the fact that he showed up for that hearing in, I believe, an Atlanta Falcons pullover, is that correct? White pants after fucking Labor Day. Paul, come on, right? White pants and sunglasses, which he did not take off the whole time. I'm going to give Paul Lee a compliment. Here's my compliment. Certainly not for his fashion sense, but for this. That guy is a fucking circus everywhere he goes. That guy does not apologize for being that guy. That guy is like a poor man's Donald Trump. Like, that guy, I will say this for him, and this might be the only good thing I ever say about him. And I think he's a family guy. I'll give him that too. But, man, that guy's got freaking gonads. I will give him that. Of course, you know, we invited him on to Tipping Point. That's correct, right, Larry? But he turned
it
down
correct.
Because he said he gets paid to talk, right?
He doesn't get paid to talk for free.
Well, Paul Lee, let me, Stephen Platinum, who's another really popular guy in the Georgia wrestling scene, let me put this out to you. I invite you on to Tipping Point, and if you will come on Tipping Point, I will pony up at least a better team's pullover for you. So next time you have an important thing to show up for, court or traffic court, or you're going to plead NOLO or whatever, like, you're in the house. You're in the house. So Paul Lee's not going to be able to run for mayor unless his lawsuit works, which, you know what, over under, I'd say there's a 50% chance that Paul Lee ends up running for mayor no matter what.
I will chip in for that pullover if we can get him on the show. I'll pony up also for the – we'll go 50-50. Maybe Rachel wants some of that action too. We'll get him that pullover.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, I,
hey,
you know, he did –
that makes this more likely to happen. If we split it three ways, then we're definitely going to be able to afford this. Let's
absolutely.
Face it, all in wrestling, we got a low budget, so let's all three pull in and make this happen.
Larry, what were you going to say?
I do have to say he did win me over a bit with offering to show the underwear in his drawer.
Oh,
that's
that
a great line.
That is irrefutable proof. I don't know if you knew that, but I mean.
That is a great line. See, he was trying to establish the fact that that was his residence, in fact, and he said, you could come look at my underwear drawer. Man, it's a great line. It's certainly better than that knees to nuts thing that he was pushing, those terrible shirts. So, Paul Lee, I'm not going to say we love you. I'm not going to say that we endorse your candidacy. I will just say, from one person who is clearly chemically imbalanced to the other, I have respect for you on the level that crazy people can have respect for one another, for whatever that is worth. So, Larry Goodman, speaking of busy, well-dressed men, you were at more than one show. You were at, tell me the two shows you were at Southern Fried.
No, that's you're correct, you're seeing double. You're seeing double, Steve. I was only at Southern Fried this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so you were at Southern Fried. Not their finest hour, correct? Tell me about the show.
That would be my assessment, and they had to overcome some obstacles. And, you know, I think they pretty much got what they could out of it, but it was not one of their shining hours. I mean, when you lose your main event you've built up to for several months, it's not a good scenario.
Right, right. They made the best of it, though. Chiazzo, they threw in there with AJ Steele to send everybody home happy. And those guys can certainly put on a match. Here's something that I've noticed lately. Chiazzo and AJ Steele went 6 minutes, which was understandable considering Chiazzo had to work more than once, and they had a lot of gaga in that match, but they only went 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Murder and Sabu for AWE only went 6 minutes. Of course, they're going to bring Sabu back again, right? But they only went 6 minutes. Tonight's guest at 7:30, Jeff G. Bailey and I went 7.5 in that cage. Thank you very much. All right. Jeff and I, who have a combined, if you combined our ages, we're hitting the century mark. Okay. We're hitting the century mark there. And Jeff, what is Jeff's workout? Picking up a remote control? Like, that's Jeff's workout. 7.5. And I was still hurting from that hip toss a week later. So I just wanted to put that out there. A bunch of shows coming up, of course, this Saturday, Sacred Ground, the show for Platinum Championship Wrestling, starting it off in Porterdale and then moving it to the Tudor Square space, which formerly the Academy Theater. And it was confirmed today, the roast, Larry, I know you're going to be interested in this. The roast is going to take place at my father's basement, which is a comic shop / bar / restaurant that's open until midnight. So they said that they would make room on the patio for Platinum Championship Wrestling so we could have our after show roast with the guys drinking and eating decent food.
One correction is my parents' basement. Just so
my parents' basement.
People will get there and they get their due. They're like a brand new comic book shop. So everyone was very excited in the Avondale area that they no longer had to drive all the way up to Book Nook or Oxford Comics.
That's awesome. So my parents' basement, yes.
And hopefully the food is better than that barbecue place. That was pretty grim barbecue they used to have over there in Porterdale. But that doesn't really matter. The roast is the thing. That the roast takes place is the thing.
Now, the roast is one of these things Larry Goodman has been privy to. Rachel herself has done a set the last year or two, right?
Right.
We never outwardly talk about the roast. Larry always refers to it in his news and notes about Sacred Ground, and he always says, well, as usual, like, no, nobody was spared and blah, blah, blah. We never really get into what we talk about at the roast, but Larry, can you at least testify to this? The roast is as brutal, if not more so, than the kind of roast that you would see on, like, Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is no holds barred. I mean, vicious. Just vicious and funny as hell.
Yes. So, definitely, it's just one of those sort of in-group things. The wrestlers are certainly invited, but once in a while, a fan sneaks in there. But if you just be warned, if you come, like last year, somebody had like a kid. Wouldn't do that.
That was one of our referees, and he was so mad after my set.
So definitely Sacred Ground's happening. The roast is happening. And in the beginning of October, I hadn't realized that the big tournament that Southern Fried is touting for that new AIWF title, I didn't realize it was on a Friday night. I feel like I should put that out there. It's on a Friday night. I guess they don't want to compete. I'm sure there's some big college game happening on that Saturday that they didn't want to compete with. Plus, it's easier to get the guys that they wanted. They really did line up top-notch talent. Certainly easier to get them on a Friday than a Saturday. But does that two questions for you, Larry. One, does that shock you that they would do that? And two, are you going to attend?
It doesn't shock me in the sense that I did not ask Charles about this. I presume that it was done because that's when they could get all the talent there, that it would have been tough to get that grouping together on a Saturday night. I question how much interest there will be from this from their regular fan base. I mean, they did try to put it over some on the last couple of shows, but I guess the proof will be in the pudding, but I kind of question that. And, yeah, I mean, that weekend might actually be a triple shot for me if I can hold up.
No way.
Because they got that tournament Friday night, Peach State Saturday, and then AWN Sunday. We'll see. You know, that's off. I haven't done that in a long time. But anyway, I do plan on going.
Oh, Larry Goodman going three ways. Ladies, give him a call. So Rachel, I listened to the Lady Tapa interview last night on Georgia Wrestling now available on archive. Lady Tapa, two things surprised me. One, she was on there 30 minutes. All right. I will say this from a promoter's perspective, it has been nothing but a dream dealing with her. She's so good and easy about stuff. And she came across very mild mannered. Now she's a legit tough person. Not only does she come from like sort of a family of tough wrestlers, but she herself, she had to take a break from her jiu-jitsu class to call in to Georgia Wrestling Now. So she's tough and she's big. I don't think you've ever been in the ring with anybody her size. You've been in there with some tough ladies, the LaFistos of the world and that kind of thing, but never anybody her size. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to press you with a bunch of questions tonight, but I got to ask, because you know Quasi's going to come on here and he's going to talk a bunch of mess, right, with that deep, soulful voice that makes all of our gonads quiver. But, like, what? He's going to come in here, and you got to think her plan is just going to be straight ahead, run you over, that, you know, you give up such a size advantage to her that she's just going to run you over. What are you going to do? I mean, the cliche is you're going to use your quickness, but in reality, I don't know. She's pretty – I was watching Impact. It was a four-way dance, and she was getting around that ring. I mean, she was all over the place, keeping up with the likes of Gail Kim, who's just a lightning bug. What are you going to do against Lady Tapa? Without having to reveal too much of your game plan, what's your general mindset going into that match?
Absolutely. And, you know, the speed was something that I had really thought about. You know, there is a big size difference there, and I have been fortunate in that, you know, this is the first time I've really encountered someone at this size, but like you said, she does get around, and I think Monday night actually kind of started to make me worry, because if she had been on there and been belligerent, then she would have just been another angry wrestler, and you can use that to your advantage too, because you can make them mad, then they start to mess up, but she's level-headed. That's a little scarier. That's something that is definitely going to, I think, work against the plan that I had. So going forward, Shane and I are definitely going to be working hard this weekend to kind of replan everything and kind of come up with different things for contingencies. So right now I'm really at a disadvantage. I don't have a definite plan because of all the things that have happened up till now.
Well, Larry Goodman, you're definitely going to be there at Sacred Ground. what's something that you're looking forward to, Larry? And then I promise I will not discuss Sacred Ground anymore until we have Quasi and Jeff on. But what's something that you're excited about to see Sacred Ground at the old Academy Theater site?
Well, just the fact that the show's taking place in that space – is exciting for me. I'm looking forward to seeing who of the who returns from PCW's past and what do they do. And I am really looking forward to Lady Tapa and Rachel. So all of those things, for sure, I'm looking forward to.
Well, you know, you asked me earlier off the air, and certainly it's not a big secret, but Timmy McClendon is going to be there, which if you're someone who went to the Friday shows or the Jungle shows on Tuesday night, Timmy McClendon, I really can't describe him if you haven't seen him. Suffice to say, you're going to want to show up. He contacted me and asked if it would be okay if he did a bunch of promos online just so people could kind of get a taste of him and to know that he was going to be there for sure. Can't wait for those to come out. Unique is the word. I mean, you can try to say that he's like this guy or that guy, but really there's nobody quite like him. And he's one of those guys that I think epitomizes those crazy Friday night show feel where it really was, you know, the cliche is but we all know at most wrestling shows, you can predict almost exactly what's going to happen. But those Friday night shows really were these sort of raucous, wild, like anything got tried, anything got done affairs. And certainly Sacred Ground has a lot to live up to. But I have a feeling we might deliver just.
I'm so excited to see him there because when I first started to come to PCW, he was one of the very few people that I actually remember from my first show that I saw there. Because it was mm-hmm. that in the Grotesque match, but where he pulled the paper out of his tights and unfolded it to give General Kilgore the suplex. And so it was those kinds of moments I remember.
Yes.
And I was so glad that he was involved when I debuted at PCW. It was a real treat to get to work with him. Yeah.
I'm excited to see. It's kind of the two big legacies of PCW there at once. It's Porterdale and it's Avondale. And Porterdale fans are going to have their own section. We sold out the VIP bus, so they're going to be there in force. And I mean, they're going to have their own section, and I'm going to also rope off a section for the old time Friday night fans, because we'll know who you are just when we see you. And I can't wait to see which fans are crazier, which ones are more psychotic, and which ones are going to, like, I don't know. It's just going to be a lot of, I mean, people use this word a lot and usually I hate it, but it's going to be a lot of fun, just crazy. I've also decided, and I don't know if Larry will like this or hate it, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I've decided that my role in the show is going to be a commentator. I'm just going to throw myself because a lot of people hate the live commentary thing, but it's just a part of PCW, but I wanted to do the show. So I'm going to be on live commentary. So I don't know if that's going to sell tickets or keep people away.
Well, whether it sells or keeps them away, I think it's apropos for you to be doing commentary in that space. And, you know, one of the things that struck me, Stephen Rachel, is that there are some similarities between the AWE crowd and the PCW Friday Night Academy crowd. So I'm throwing down the gauntlet to AWE fans. If you've not seen PCW, you ought to check this show out. You ought to come Saturday night and check out Sacred Ground.
It's you know, I think AWE has like that, they err more on the side of sort of like hardcore adult, like wrestling heavy. But I think we are. I think we're kind of on the same side of the coin, and it's just we err towards sort of like a more performance, more comedy base, but both shows, I think, when they're done right, have sort of an air of danger and unpredictability that often is lacking at wrestling shows nowadays.
Agreed.
So
there's a sensibility that I among the fans that is similar. The shows are different, but they come from a little bit from the same place in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I mean, you know, Fat Corey was a staple of the Friday shows, and now, you know, he's holding AWE's water. I hope he'll be there, though. I mean, God, you know, Team All You Can Eat was born there. And when you think about those guys in Team All You Can Eat, right, you have the one they called Grandpa, who's now a referee for PCW. Matt Hankins, who's all over the including Monday night on Georgia Wrestling Now. Of Corey, who's got you know, his regular podcast spot and supports AWE and is a mover shaker, if for no other reason than because of his weight. And then you have Harold J, who was just a staple in the Georgia scene and now is a staple on the Florida scene taking pictures. By the way, Harold J. Taylor is going to be there taking pictures and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, it really is going to be affair in spite of our first guest. Larry is Quasi Mandisco on the line by chance?
Oh, I believe he's right here with us now.
Let me give you a proper introduction, and this might be the only nice thing I say about you tonight. From a guy who I think at one point you've gone from a person who was one of the pack in the group of managers in Georgia to a guy who I think seriously has to be considered in the top three, along with Rachel and Jeff, who's going to be on later. He is Quasi Mandisco. How are you doing tonight?
I was fantastic until I heard in spite of. I mean, hello to everyone listening. You're now being graced with the presence of Quasi Mandisco.
Mm.
And Mr. Platinum, let me address you directly. You are the one who trained me.
Yeah.
You helped make me this great manager that I am. So how could you say in spite of when you were talking about one of your creations?
Well, you,
granted,
you know, Quasi.
Hold on. I'm not finished yet. Now, I have taken the ball and run with it like my name was Adrian Peterson. And I will beat up on all the little kids out in the crowd. And my name is Adrian Peterson.
Oh, no.
I will say, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me. And I thank you for letting me run with this ball. And I'd like to say to Rachel, I am very thankful that you will be there on Saturday because I am looking forward to watching your pretty little face get bashed in.
God, man. Quasi, I'll open with the first question. You're a busy guy, Sacred Ground.
Yes.
You're going to be there. You're going to be there with Lady Tapa. That's right. Obviously a huge match. You're going to be there with Brian Kane. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
Who else are you representing, and in what matches? My gosh, you are the manager at Platinum Championship Wrestling right now.
This is true. As far as I know, only right now it is Lady Tapa and Brian Kane. But you know, people have been coming to me asking me to help them out with their careers. And it's been amazing because we have people who want to come to PCW, but they won't come unless I'm their manager, and that's amazing. But I've told them all, we have to concentrate right now. We have to make September 26th the best show it can be, and I can't stretch myself too thin because Brian Kane versus Supernatural in a Boston street fight, this is going to be amazing. Brian Kane has already proven against the Jagged Edge what he can do in a street fight. And I heard you talking earlier about Lady Tapa saying how tough she is and how quick she is, which is very true. Rachel, you're going to need to be on your A-plus game. Because not only is she tough in wrestling and in jiu-jitsu, I don't know if you know this, but she used to play professional American football.
Really?
Yes, in the Independent Women's Football League. 11 on 11. She was a linebacker and a tight end. So she is a legit tough woman who has size, speed, and intelligence. So, Rachel, you get with Shane Marks. Get the game plan together. Because I'm hoping this is going to be the best match of your career. I don't know if it'll matter much, but I'm proud of you, girl. Proud of you.
I hear you. I just keep thinking about the match that I had with Angelina Love, and while you weren't there last Saturday but did send Steve Platinum's cousin, Hi Ken, after me, I do have to wonder if you were just saving yourself to be at ringside for Lady Topless.
Am I going to be at ringside with Lady Topless? Is that what you asked?
Or rather, what you're planning to do at ringside, I guess, is my bigger concern.
What I'm planning to do at ringside? I plan on watching a fantastic contest, and I plan on watching her win. What else do you expect me to do? I mean, if she comes out to ringside, I'll, you know, maybe give her a little advice, because we've been in the ring before. I know a little bit about Rachel Freeman. I know what goes on. So I can give her a little bit of advice, but, I mean, I'm just going to be the lovely, charming person that I am, rooting for my clients.
You know, Quasi, we've been talking about those Friday night shows. And obviously, yes, you've come a long way from those Friday night shows. But I asked Larry this, I'll ask you a similar thing. What's something that you're looking, I mean, obviously you're looking forward to being at ringside, but what's something just in general about that show and that space that you're looking forward to on Saturday? Having done so many of those Friday night shows, I mean, you were there almost from the beginning of them.
Yes, yes. I can tell you the main thing I'm looking forward to is the energy in the building. That's something that I haven't felt anywhere else. And I've been to a lot of wrestling shows, but the Friday nights had a specific energy. And like you said, it felt like something dangerous could happen at any moment, and sometimes it did. Like when We Are Three debuted.
Yeah.
I was actually a little nervous on that night, I cannot lie. But that's the main thing I'm looking forward to, the energy. It's the energy of being back in the building and the energy of it being sacred ground, which is the biggest show of the year. So walking in the building, it'll be palpable. You can feel it like a wall. The moment you walk in, you'll be able to feel that energy there.
You know, we're gonna have Jeff G on in a little bit, and I'd like for you to stay on at least for the beginning when he's on. Jeff G is somebody that both you and Rachel got to see in action and got to learn from. You've talked before about how Jeff G has influenced you. In what specific ways has being around Jeff G Bailey, getting to see him work, actually getting to work with him a time or two, what did you learn from Jeff G Bailey that helped you up your game?
Well, without a doubt, he is one of the best managers in wrestling, period. Not just in Georgia, not just in Southeast, period. Be WWE, TNA, he's just one of the best. And I learned patience from him. When I first started, I was always eager to do everything. And you mentioned, take your time, calm down, analyze the situation. Take time to form strategies, learn your opponent. Help your client out in that way. And just some of the subtleties that he brings. Like, he's known for being boisterous and blissful, but if you watch him at ringside, he doesn't do a lot. He just sort of takes his time, gives great advice when necessary, and doesn't get involved too much. And that's something that I had to learn from him, just patience. Take your time and just don't do too much. Don't do too much. And I definitely got that from him.
Larry, did you have a question for Quasi?
I did. Just branching out a little bit from the sacred ground discussion, Quasi, I was curious if you were going to go to venture into other promotions. What might they be and why?
Let's see. My main focus will forever be PCW just because that's where I got to start and learned a lot about the craft. But I'm very interested in Southern Fry. I'm interested to see what they bring to the table as opposed to what PCW brings to the table. AWE, I'm curious. I've heard a lot of good things, but not necessarily for people I trust as it being a good thing, or they're just thumping at their own egos. So before I join any other group or make appearances in any other shows, I'm going to watch and observe and learn, much like you would do in any other sport. I need to sit back and observe. So I can't say I'll be joining any other promotion anytime soon, even though it would be the best for them, but I'm going to take my time and be patient.
When you were breaking in, you did shows for PWR, and obviously before they closed down. What's something that you learned? Because, I kind of call it the PCW effect, where if you get your start at PCW, if you're somebody that I trained, there's a certain kind of protection that goes on at PCW. Like, you get used to certain things that aren't necessarily the norm elsewhere, good and bad, right? What's the difference that you noticed at PWR, and how did that help you? How did that eventually help you learn?
Okay, I'm not one to run people down. That's never what I'm intending to do. But I will say that PWR, the main difference that I noticed was attention to detail. PCW is good about crossing the T's, dotting the I's, making sure things go exactly as planned, even when they can't go as planned. It still makes sense. And it's logical, even when it's not logical, if you understand what I'm saying. It's like things end up making sense. And at PWR, sometimes things, it's like going against the grain for no reason at all. But you have things set up that would work, but was enough attention paid to the details. And that is something that PCW does very well. Training people in storytelling, which you don't get at a lot of places. People want to do spot after spot after spot after spot instead of paying attention to the story of a match or a feud. And that's something that PCW is always good about. You get the story told, and the wrestling comes second. I'll admit, wrestling's not always the best, but nobody touches Platinum Championship Wrestling and storytelling.
Before we bring Jeff on, I did have one more question, and it's even further removed from the original topic. But despite everything between Quasi and I listening to him talk about wrestling, you definitely have your head on your shoulders. But with your recent obsession with Running Me Down, what's something that, bringing in all these women and researching which one's the best, I'm interested in your opinions on like the Divas Revolution and the state of women's wrestling.
The Divas Revolution. I'll say the women coming out of NXT are fantastic, and it's making some of the main roster divas work harder. Nikki Bella, who I absolutely hate, just her character, like, we're not sure if she's a face or heel, but she's gotten better in the ring. But now the Divas Revolution is, speaking on them specifically, it's played because it's only between 9 different people, and you don't have Natalya. You don't include all the rest of the divas that are on the roster and can actually work. So WWE's Diva Revolution, it's losing its steam with me personally. Now, the state of women's wrestling, I think, is pretty good. When you look at Shimmer, you look at Shine, look at some of the people around, yourself included, Rachel, who've gotten much better in the ring, Aisha, Dementia DeRose, the state of women's wrestling seems to be pretty solid right now. I'm not sure if we'll ever get away from the sexist attitudes toward it, but I think it's on solid footing. And yes, Rachel, I'm including you in this. They're real athletes now. They're not just pretty girls out there in lingerie rolling around on the mat anymore. Real athletes. So that's why I'm looking forward to your match Saturday, Rachel. I'm really looking forward to this. I don't expect you to win, but I know you'll give it 110%. Did I lose everyone?
Uh-oh. No. Okay. This is one of those moments on Tipping Point where we all go, hey, it's you, right?
Oh, you're I was asking, is Jeff G. Bailey ready to come online?
Yes, he is. I thought we were having one of those Blog Talk moments there where we go off the air. I'm sorry, so I didn't say it. I thought we were gone. So.
No, no.
But
I
yes.
Well, if I may have the honor of the if I may have the honor of the introduction, please. He is the perennial manager of the year in Georgia. He is the greatest rival of my wrestling career, which is saying something. He is the one and the only Jeff G. Bailey. Jeff, how are you doing tonight?
Word them up. I'm doing great. It wouldn't be Blog Talk Radio without some dead air before I come on, so I'm glad the tradition stayed intact.
Just for you.
We were all waiting for us.
Jeff, there's a lot of people on the line, and before we all start talking over one another, I wanted to ask you this question. I know you're often reluctant to do interviews like this because you're afraid of the typical questions or that kind of thing. I wanted to throw a really tough question at you right off the jump, and it's this. With Anarchy being done, obviously, that show, I mean, you and I closed that show. You made the decision. It's not that you went into business for yourself or some nonsense, but in your mind, Anarchy needed to be done. And you were the only person who was really in the position to do it appropriately. What was running through your mind when you were about to say those words that Anarchy was done? What were you feeling? What were you experiencing at that moment?
I was thinking, somebody get me a towel so I can wipe the blood off my hands to hold the microphone, first of all. I was wet and bloody and, you know, the guy's trying to force the thing into my hand, and I'm like, do you have a towel? But, I don't know. You would think it would be a bigger and more emotional moment, but Jesus, the last 6 months have been so much turmoil and so much stuff that I don't think there was quite, you know, that teary-eyed feeling or anything that I would expect to have had during that moment. But it was almost like a business as usual kind of thing. Like, you know, let's move this thing on to the next thing, because it was closing. I mean, it was clearly closing and going away. And I mean, had it stuck around to do, you know, two more shows under that banner, they weren't going to be better than the show we had just done. So it really seemed pointless not to, you know, to have the name change. I think it's just, I mean, my God, it's 10 full years. It's 550 episodes of television. I mean, it's run its course as far as Anarchy goes. I mean, I think it was definitely the right way to go out. And I certainly don't have any regrets about how all that turned out and, you know, making the decision to shut it down that night.
I'm gonna ask the second question as well. And this, again, It's just not a support.
I don't know who Thunder Liger should wrestle in NXT.
That is a joke based on, I listened to the interview that Bill Behrens did with Pro Wrestling Torch, And poor Bill Barons got assaulted with these questions because they let fans call in, and the fans are only allowed to ask three questions each, which amounts to 15 questions from fans. And, you know, you have Bill Barons, who can talk intelligently about anything and then thinks he can talk about intelligently about everything else. And some fan hit him with... Who do you think, you know, so you think it's going to be a question about TNA or his vast experience or one of the guys he's agent for? And they ask him, who do you think Jushin Thunder Liger should wrestle in NXT and WWE? And the sound that Bill uttered of just, like he just realized it was going to be the longest hour of his life. So, Jeff, you're going to be at Sacred Ground. I don't know what you're doing at Sacred Ground, but I know that you've already made plans to be there. It's a question I've asked Larry. It's a question that I've asked Quasi. What's something that you're looking forward to just being in that space again on that show?
Wow. Well, I mean, of course, I'm incredibly excited to go back to the space. I mean, we closed that space down, you know, the night before Sacred Ground 3, I believe.
3. That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a special place, and that was a special night in and of itself. But I've that experience that I had there that I've never had anywhere else or seen happen anywhere else where the fans trying to drown me out with white noise, just like, this constant din of noise to, like, try and drown me out. But, I mean, how stupid. I have a microphone, you know, but it was still very charming that they tried and quite hilarious.
I want to say Steve brought that up last week. That exact thing.
Yeah, it's one of those indelible memories of that building is just their reaction to Jeff, because most of them didn't know who he was, but they quickly found out through that hellified promo, and then from then on, he was the enemy. I'd always said that the only pure heel you could have at PCW was somebody who hated PCW. That was the only one we could get people to fully – I mean, Dwight Power had fans. You know, the same two black guys who would stand up and Sig Heil every time he'd come to the ring. So it's like, I mean, that's the Friday night crowd. But Jeff was the one they were just unified in hate. And that was, I mean, it was a great experience. You know, Quasi's on here. Jeff, Quasi, and Rachel, since we have three of the top managers on all at once, I'm going to field this question to you. And you can answer in any order as you feel comfortable answering. What is a promotion in Georgia that could benefit from a great manager the most? You can either name a piece of talent that's out there that could use a manager, or you can name a promotion that you think could really use a strong presence of a manager effectively.
You want me to go first, or somebody else can go? I mean,
yeah, yes, please, yes.
I don't know. I don't follow a lot of promotions that closely, honestly. But I mean, any promotion that runs regularly and tells good episodic storylines that play out over time could use a good manager, somebody who can basically narrate the story and, you know, have people informed on what exactly is going on. I mean, it's obviously better with television, but I mean, most people don't have television, so that's not really an option. But I think that, you know, I mean, AWE, I think, you know, they have Dark Mon, they have that kid with him, and I don't know how effective that is, but I mean, he's a guy, obviously, that should have a manager because he's supposed to be a big monster. And, you know, the second a big monster talks, you know, all the mystery is lost. So I think that's, you know, one of the few things that a manager is still valuable for. I mean, because there's not a lot of stuff out there for us anymore, honestly. But that's a place that is still very valuable, you know, keep those big guys mysterious.
Absolutely. Quasi, what's a place or a piece of talent in Georgia you think could use a good manager?
I'm going to say that he's probably going to hate me for it, but Fred Yehi.
Oh. Talk to me about Fred.
Yeah, I have to talk about Fred. I love Fred. He knows I love him. But I think a manager would help him get a character over, get a gimmick over, because he's this wrestling guy. And from what I've seen, even when he tries to do a gimmick, it still just becomes the wrestling guy. And the wrestling guy is fun, but it doesn't. It only goes so far. And it doesn't really, like, help with stories and things. So I think that having someone talk for Fred and help getting him over so he can do what he does best, which is his amateur wrestling and all that, and having someone be the character for him, I think that could help him out a lot.
That's an interesting choice to me because, I mean, I'll just be blunt and I'll say it. When Fred is left to make decisions for himself, he makes fucking terrible decisions, right? He's going to put on pajama pants and a SpongeBob shirt. That's his idea of, I'm going to be different. I think having somebody with experience who can not only – they don't have to talk for Fred all the time, but I think somebody there, like a Jeff G. Bailey, to go – this is a good decision, this is a bad decision. Like, I'm thinking specifically of what Jeff did with chemo, where there's a lot of ways that could have gone wrong, and instead it was just very strong. And, I mean, Jeff, you can confirm or deny any of this. I mean, chemo followed your direction, especially in those imperative early days, very closely, and it went for very good effect, right?
Yeah, I would say that I had the lion's share of, you know, coming up with the gimmick and everything about it, honestly, for the most part. I mean, along with chemo, of course. I mean, but it was something that I had been, you know, wanting to do since I became a manager, which was, you know, have the foreign menace, because it's something in wrestling that's just dead, but something that I grew up on, you know, and really – I thought Timo was the next best foreign menace, probably since Nikita Koloff, you know, somebody that you can really believe is A, foreign, because he was, and, you know, real and could fuck you up. So it's absolutely one of my favorite things that I've ever done. I mean, without question.
Rachel, since you're on here, who's somebody that you've been, you know, you haven't been at it as long as Jeff has, but what's somebody that you've managed that you've considered a success, that you had a hand in helping to get them over, that maybe you had suggestions that they actually accepted and took? Because I know sometimes the relationship between manager and the person you manage isn't smooth, but who's somebody that you had great chemistry with that you think you really helped one another's careers out?
The one that really comes to mind is BJ Hancock. He was a guy that, you know, seemed like he really wanted to work together and move further, and it helped us to bounce ideas off each other. And to answer the original question, I'm going to take the Jeff G. Bailey approach. I don't have a specific promotion or person that I can pull off the top of my head right now because I don't really follow any place that I'm not at either. But I think that a good manager works in kind of the capacity that I was used most of the time, especially at Anarchy, but also in the Empire days, the early Empire days at PCW, where it's kind of a relief for the wrestler because they get a chance to ease into finding that gimmick because there's someone there helping them get the heat. That it allows them time to learn and make the mistakes without it really costing them. And, yeah, sometimes it works really well, like the situation with DJ where we bounced ideas off each other. If I had advice, he'd take it, and he'd ask me for my advice after the match. And there were guys that I did not have that kind of relationship with, where we just butt heads all the time. So it's something where you have to know that the person is willing to take it the correct way is a way to help them. But I think that's really where managers can be used very effectively as a kind of a padding for newer or less experienced wrestlers.
Hmm. Right on. Larry, I have a question for you, and then please ask anybody any question you'd like. Larry, you know, you've got Rachel here, you've got Quasi here, you've got Jeff here. When you look at managers, particularly in the Georgia area, because you certainly get to a wider range of shows than we do, in my mind, there's two or three different kinds of managers, right? There's kind of like the Southern comedy guy, right? I'm thinking of specifically, you know, of like a Charlie Cash, like that was kind of his niche and milieu. And then you have the guys who are effective, but not threatening. I'm thinking of like a Doc Brock, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't put him in the same category as Jeff, certainly. In that, I don't think anybody, like Jeff is a threat. I mean, like he's a threat. And if he promises blood and violence, and there's always the feeling that it's going to happen, right? And then you have, I mean, Jeff G, I will put him in this category of a guy who's kind of a force in and of himself. I don't even think of Jeff as a manager, as strange as that might sound. I just see him as this kind of like powerful entity that gets worked into shows and makes them better by his presence. I mean, yeah. That's how he's been utilized in the last few years. I think, you know, it's Anarchy versus PCW. Who's going to head up Anarchy? It's Jeff. And it's not just in a managerial capacity. It's sort of like he's an entity that has to be dealt with. He's sort of earned that reputation. What do you think is going to, like, is there anybody coming up the pipe who you think this person could be a great manager later on? Obviously, Quasi has panned out, Rachel has panned out, but a whole lot of managers along the way have come and gone. Is there anybody out there now who you think has a prayer of being great?
The one who I thought had that is not managing, and that's Kevin Pierce. I think he had that. And why he chose to go be a referee, I'm not really – I've not talked to him about it. I don't know. The question you asked the other folks, though, about what promotions – I want to touch on that one, though.
Yeah.
Promotions that could use a manager. You know, as far as the quality of people that we have on the show here tonight, I can't think of a promotion that couldn't use a manager of that type because I like Steve Dave at Empire. I like Brock at Southern Fried, but as you said, these are comedy buffoonish type managers. No edge of danger or air of danger about them. And I think all the folks we have in the line bring that to the table, and what promotion couldn't use that?
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, I'm going to direct this directly at you. So Anarchy is done. The new promotion isn't going to start up until November and isn't officially launching until January. Certainly you have, you know, you're going to be at Sacred Ground, but beyond that, certainly I would think that there are promotions that would be interested in having you during this time where you're not really affiliated anywhere. Are you interested in working for other promotions?
I'm always interested in working somewhere good, and I will be appearing somewhere good in the month of October. So I'll just say that. I'm not going to say where it is or what it is, but I will be on a show or two in October, and I think it's going to be pretty great, or I wouldn't be doing it. So
I'm going to put this to Quasi, Rachel, and Jeff. The same question, and it's incredibly unfair. Manager of the year. You can't say you. if you can't say you,
Damn it.
Who's it going to be? It's tough. You know what? I'll make Larry answer that first. Larry, you can't pick yourself. Who should be? So unfair, Larry. I know. Who should be manager of the year and why?
Well, I would have to go with Jeff G. Bailey for the his babyface run, although it didn't come out as well as I would have liked to have seen it. I would still have to go for that. It was some really good work, and I would vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Quasi.
I have to go with Jeff. Of all the managers that I've seen been around, he's in top tier. And like I said before, it's not just in Georgia. It's like in professional wrestling, period. He's on a Paul Heyman level. He's on a Bobby Heenan level to me, where it's like he says something, you're listening, and then you're going to show up to see if what he said is going to happen. And that is a very rare, rare talent. And he's who I look up to. Like, I watch Jeff G, and I watch Paul Heyman, and everybody else. I'll listen. But with Jeff right now, it's like, oh, my God, this dude is amazing.
Rachel.
All right, I've got a tie. I've been trying to decide, and I cannot decide yet. I'm going to
tell us about this tie.
Order, I think. Obviously, Jeff G. Bailey is one of the choices. He did something very difficult this year, which is to be the most hated heel in the world for the 10 years that he was at Anarchy, and then suddenly be the most beloved babyface they had ever seen in their lives. That was fantastic to watch. And obviously, I learned everything from as far as managing from Dave and Jeff, but there's no denying that Jeff had a huge role in that because it was, you know, Steve, I go to training and learn from the little talks that we had. I was going to call them seminars. I guess it's kind of the same thing. But Jeff was really someone, especially at Anarchy, that he was out there with me, or he was sitting in the back staring at the monitor, and then when I'd come back, he'd say, oh, you should do this. Or, you know, he'd always have feedback that was very helpful to me. So there's no denying that Jeff is the greatest manager of all time. But this year, the toss-up is because I've never seen, in my short wrestling experience, people boycott because somebody came to the building. So the toss-up is between Jeff and Steve. I don't think there was anybody else that I had heard so much about because of the, 5,000 videos, and there were people that actually watched every one of those videos. I can't say I'm one of them, but I saw that there, you know, it was something that was a lot of discussion, and for someone who wasn't even in the state, fans tried to fight him as he went through the, I had fans take swipes at me. I mean, this is like a straight-up riot on the last show. So, I mean, there's definitely the, I mean, it's difficult to pick, but those are definitely the two that I struggle with.
Am I wrong?
I will say that, man. I got the catchphrase of the year, I think. Jeff, you are obviously the runaway choice for everybody for manager of the year. I'm interested, though, if you could not pick yourself, who would it be? And I know that's uncomfortable because you have two managers on the line with you and that kind of thing. What would it be?
I mean, especially after all those kind words that Quasi had, I want to pick him. I mean, I'll definitely say he's by far the most improved person that I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's somebody that gets better every time out there. And, I mean, some people just stay the same and are stagnant or whatever, but he gets better every time. So I think, you know, he's certainly a force. I mean, Rachel, I saw, you know, all year and, you know, We fought against each other, and, you know, the stuff she did for BJ, I thought was amazing. So, I mean, I would have to pick her, but I hate to pick her because some people out there might go, oh, well, that's our cue to vote for her. But I want to say not only have I been great this far, you haven't even seen my Sacred Ground promo or my October surprise. So I'm still leaning in. looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, Sacred Ground, I mean, it's going to be amazing. As on that manager tip, Jonathan Malik is going to be at the show. We're going to have a bit of an Empire manager reunion. Jonathan Malik is going to be there on Saturday night. So that's going to be compelling as well, just to see all those people.
Just to put it out there, there was a family emergency, but there is a chance that Marty Freeman may also be there. So it would be a cool Empire reunion.
Wow. I feel remiss to not say the name of this guy. I think because he's seen as a wrestler primarily, but I feel like the Carpenter, while he shouldn't be manager of the year because he doesn't manage primarily, it's one of those weird sort of hybrid things that he does. I think he's one of those guys that is compelling. There's so few guys that speak and they're compelling. I think certainly the people that are on the line right now qualify. I'm trying to think of anybody else who I think, you know, every time they speak, I want to hear them speak. I think Shane Knowles is one of those guys that when he says something, it's important. I think Murder One still cuts a great promo. Beyond that, you know, I think Jagged Edge is really good on the mic. But, you know,
one person,
the Carpenter.
Just to add another name there, while you're thinking of him, Logan Chase at Deep Southern doesn't get talked about very often, but I think he's one of the
really
ones that's just going to kind of pop up out of the weeds. I mean, he gets a great reaction from the crowd. They love to hate him. Watching him was fantastic. I was sitting next to Big Wood, and he was going, oh, this guy is the best. And I'm just going, hey, he's your guy. But I mean, he was, the spots that he did, he was right on cue. He spoke very eloquently. I think that he's a guy that Quasi and Jeff are going to have to watch out for. He's going to be up on their heels before long.
Oh boy. Well, I heard the grimace.
What promotion?
At Deep Southern.
Make a visit. Deep Southern
up in Blue Ridge.
Deep Southern. Jeff, I guess I'll have the last question for you, from me anyway. My question is this. You've accomplished so much. Wild Side, right? Anarchy, been on top of the Georgia scene as a manager for more than a decade and a half. Kind of one of the last of the old school guys, you know, when you worked for Jay Eagle. You were on television there. You really got to hone your craft. Is it just a matter at this point of I won't leave wrestling because it's just too big a part of my life? Or are there still challenges out there that excite you and interest you?
Both. I mean, obviously, I love doing it, but I really love doing it when something comes along that's exciting. I mean, you know, when a chemo comes along and you go, oh, my God, here's this guy that I can mold into exactly what I want him to be, and he's going to do everything and do it great and all that. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, and those are fewer and far between to come by. But, I mean, I look back at the things I've done and the people I've got to work with. You know, I was thinking about – I figured you'd ask about Anarchy, and I was trying to think of some of the different years and stuff, and I thought back like to year one, where it was just me and Mike, and Mike was the heavyweight champion for most of that year, and just me and him, and he was, you know, the one-man mafia, Michael Adrian, before going to Puerto Rico, and then when he came back as Michael Judas, we did that as well. But, I mean, if I look at it like a TV series, you know, some seasons are better than others as far as the years go. But, I mean, there's so many things that I was lucky to do. And, I mean, you know, when you get a chance to work with your friends like Sean Tempers, I mean, I love pretty much everything we did together. And there's always, you know, that next guy around the corner that I'm looking for to go, that's the guy. God, somebody please put me with him. You know, let me do something with that guy. So, yeah, cool. I mean, I still love that as far as, you know, creating new guys and helping them, you know, get better at what they're doing and, you know, becoming a character of worth. Most people don't put enough effort into stuff. They're just some dude that walks to the ring and wrestles and then walks to the back. And I just think, you know,
wrestling should be so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of been stripped down on the indies to here's two guys and they're going to wrestle to see who's the better wrestler or how many spots they can cram in, as opposed to these guys are going to fight because this guy threw bleach in his daddy's eyes. You know, that's the kind of wrestling I prefer.
I'm going to close with something, and then anybody who has anything to say after that, please do.
My God,
do,
Larry
and
hasn't
then...
even asked me a question.
Oh, Larry, do you have a question? I'm sorry, Larry, you're right. Larry, do you have a question for Jeff?
Well, my question was, you've kind of answered, is where do you go from here? And I guess I'm glad to hear you are going to be appearing next month, and there's going to be more from you. So that's, I'm happy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just point to get out now. It's, I mean, I think that the While We Wrestle that's going to start up in Cornelia is going to be something special. The people are putting a lot of effort into to get everything ready. I think a lot of people are going to really be surprised by how this thing rolls out and why I'm not part of it right now. I have little doubt that I will be a huge part of it at some point.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I'm just going to make this bold declaration. A lot of people come on Tipping Point, guests that we've had, and they make these sort of challenges, whether it's bookers challenging other promotions. You know, I'm going to book this great show. I challenge you to match that show. And here's my challenge. If you're a promotion that considers yourself big time or you aspire to be great and you don't book Jeff and or Rachel and or Quasi, you're fucking fooling yourself. I think, you know, people worry about the wrestlers that they bring in, and rightfully so. People worry about, you know, making sure you have women wrestlers on that look the part and all this kind of stuff. And that's important too. But why people think you can just bring in your boyfriend or girlfriend or some kid off the street and make him a manager, I think that's a slap in the fucking face. And I think it's if you consider yourself a top flight promotion and you don't bring in a top flight manager or a top flight talker, you're fucking bullshitting yourself. Period. So that's what I'm going to say about managers and how important they are. Sacred Ground this Saturday. You want to see great managers in action, past and present and future. They're going to be there, and it's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward in different ways of seeing each one of you, except for my Japanese cousin, Quasi. I'm calling this out now. If he gets thrown out of the Platinum Royal, I'm going to kick that slanty-eyed bastard in the teeth. I said it, and it's going to happen. So just know that's going to happen. And hopefully that's Jeff and I can stay apart from each other. You know, hopefully what happened at the last show of Anarchy, you know, I was left bleeding. Rachel and I were left in a heap. Hopefully it can just be left there. And Rachel, of course, rooting for you against Lady Tapa. It's going to be great. Any parting words from anybody before we go?
I was going to say, if we also have time for a short story.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Quasi.
So I'll make mine short and sweet. This is directed towards you, Rachel. I hope you know that I respect you. I do respect what you do. I respect the fact you've gone from manager to wrestler. I can see you putting in the work. I can see you getting better. We've been in the ring together. So I know, and I respect you. But just say it again. Lady Tapa is bigger. She's badder. I appreciate what you're doing, but you're going to be hurt. You're going to cry before the night is over, and I might even give you my shoulder to cry on. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. You're going to get your ass kicked on Saturday, but we love you anyway.
Oh, the comments that I'm going to make to that is just so long as you watch the match, because as soon as you get involved, Quasi, you'll be a little less prettier than you are today. Not that it's very much.
I always play fair, baby. I always play fair. You know this.
The thing that I'm really interested in is a story that I've heard from Jeff once when I was starting. starting out a little bit, and it made me feel a lot better because I know it wasn't the greatest spot when I started. I was actually pretty terrible. But it's the story about when Jeff started and he met Mua and the adult her. It's one of my
favorite. Oh, my God, I got to hear that story.
I doubt he tells many people this, so I really want to put it out there for the world.
Oh, God. I just told a story recently for somebody. Basically, I mean, I wanted to get into wrestling, but there was no independent wrestling. There was no way into wrestling. And, I mean, I've been chasing this, you know, hanging outside of Jim Crockett Promotions and hanging out with the rats out behind the building and stuff with the boys just going, hey, how do I get into this? I mean, I really desperately wanted to do this. I mean, eventually the door in was we saw a guy on TV named Ralph Hodges on the TBS show, and he was billed from Columbia, South Carolina. So he looked his name up in the phone book, and there it was. I said, hey, are you that wrestler guy that gets beat up on TV? Yeah. Who are you? I'm like, I want to get into wrestling. I want you to train me and teach me how to get in. And he eventually started, you know, coming around and hanging out and stuff like that. But anyway, prior to that, I knew that some fabulous Mula was from Columbia. So I said, well, let me look up her address. And I did. She lives on Mula Drive, by the way. So I drove out to Mula Drive, and I went up, and I knocked on the front door and said, I want to get into wrestling. And she's like, honey, I don't think you look like much of a wrestler. I said, no, I don't want to be a wrestler. I want to be a manager. And she started, you know, her eyes lit up with dollar signs, and she was just like, you know, well, I think, you know, for about $3,000, we could probably train you. And I didn't have $3, so clearly that wasn't going to happen. I said, no, I'm really good, though. You'd want me on your shows. And she goes, okay, honey, why don't you do a promo for me? So I did. And she just smiled and goes, honey, you sound like Dusty Rhodes doing Ric Flair. Why don't you maybe come back later? And I was like, ouch. But you know what? She was right. Of course I did, because I was a fucking mark. So, I mean, it's a lesson to be learned that, you know, you figure out what you want to do and start honing that stuff. So after that passed, you know, I mean, by the time I did my first show, I mean, I was more than prepared, because it was a definitely one of those moments where you go, okay, let me rethink my approach to this. He was not impressed with Casino Riviera.
Whoa. You know what? This is kind of unfair. I'm going to close the show with this. So Jeff G. Bailey had to be Casino Riviera. I had to be the Lethal Litigator. You dickheads got to fucking keep your gimmick the whole time. I hate you so much.
Hate you. Yes,
Casino Riviera.
Had as much trouble spelling Lethal Litigator as they did Casino Riviera. It's like every time I looked for my name on the poster, I was like, oh, it's spelled wrong. Casio Rivera. I'm a fucking keyboard fake ass.
Well, with that, I will see everybody at Sacred Ground. Hopefully we will see you there, fair listeners, Saturday night. It's all going down at the Tudor Square event space, but formerly Academy Theater, Sacred Ground, Chapter 6. It's going to be amazing. Thank you, Jeff G. Bailey, for coming on. Thank you, Quasimandisco, from
Thanks
Larry Goodman.
Me.
Yes, Miss Rachel, and myself, Stephen Platinum. We will see you next week on The Tipping Point.
No Izzy High.
What does Ric Flair try? Dusty Rhodes trying to sound like Ric Flair sound like?
This broadcast, this production brought to you by
like
the GWH
Radio
Network.
Ric Flair.
Give us a sample.
Cracker from Columbia, South Carolina, doing Ric Flair.
As always, we thank you for your continued support.
Or maybe Ringgold, Georgia, maybe?
That was actually better than that, for fuck's sake. I mean, I didn't say I had Down syndrome. I just said I didn't know what I was
doing.
I think we're going to have one more kid just so I can name him Pacino Riviera.
One more